Tonight I'm going to show you something, a little bit of a
stuff that I've been studying a little bit, and I want to show you a little clip, a little video clip here in just a minute that I believe will be a help to you. But first, let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 16. And there's some scripture in John chapter 16 that's really confused. I'm too loud, brother. A lot of people down through the years, and I hope that you'll get it. It's a scary scripture. It's a scary one. John chapter 16. So that's St. John chapter 16. And look at verse, let's see here. Verse 1. John 16, 1. These things I have spoken unto you. Now he's speaking to his disciples there. That ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask us whither goest thou. Now, with that in mind, skip over there on the other side of your page there, to chapter 15, and look at verse number 18. Chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now remember that. If the world hates us, the world hates us, it's supposed to. Nothing unusual at all if the world hates you. They should. It hated Jesus before it hated you. One of the biggest faults that Christians have today is we are scared to death we might offend somebody. We're scared out of our wits somebody might think bad of us. Let me tell you something, people. This world is supposed to think bad of us. If you're following Jesus Christ, the world has no use for you. There's something wrong with a preacher that the world praises. There's something wrong with a religion that the world puts a positive stamp on. They killed Jesus Christ, and they killed the apostles, and they thought they was doing God's will. Now look at there, chapter 15, verse number 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. All right. Now, tonight, I'm just going to jump around here a little bit and tell you how bad this world is and how their attitude toward God and the Bible and the gospel. You need to know, the big news on TV is not is Romney beating Santorum. Every time I see his name, it reminds me of where crazy people live. Sanatorium. But it's Santorum. And Romney reminds me of hominy. You know, that you eat. And Mitt reminds me of a glove. I'm seeing a big glove. But anyway, that's not the big news. The big news is the world stage is being set for the Antichrist, for a one world government. And one, I can give you quotes. I won't give you a lot tonight, but I've got some stuff getting in at the youth rally where they are saying that a one world government is not only inevitable, it's the only hope for this world. And the leaders of the world believe, listen to this, that the major obstacle of achieving a one world government, what's coming in between them and their goal, is Christians. Christians are the main obstacle of keeping a one world totalitarian state from just taking over this world. And brother, when the Lord reaches down and pulls the Christians out, it's going to take over. I mean, it's amazing how they are fulfilling Bible prophecy. Tonight, I just want you to watch just a little bit. I don't know how much I'll let this play, but I want you to watch a little bit of this tonight. You'll have to adjust my volume of the mic. Get all these lights up here above me, Ron, and then just leave the house lights on pretty dim. Yeah, there you go. The ones way over to the right is on my head. Way over yonder to the right, them's the ones on my head. There you go. Now get the rest of them just dim. There's some quotes here tonight.
Famed Russian author and Nobel Prize winner Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote of the calamities that afflicted his people in the bloody wake of the Russian Revolution. At one point, he said, "Over half a century ago, while I was still a child, I recall hearing a number of old people offer the following explanation for the great disasters that had befallen Russia. Men have forgotten God, they said. That's why all this has happened. Since then, I have spent well nigh 50 years working on the history of our revolution. But if I were asked today to formulate as concisely as possible the main cause of the ruinous revolution that swallowed up some 60 million of our people, I could not put it more accurately than to repeat, men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened." In the United States, the phrase, "In God we trust," adorns the back of the U.S. dollar bill. Nevertheless, controversy rages to this day about America's Christian heritage and the true intent of the founding fathers. But where does this debate begin? The early American colonies at Jamestown and later Plymouth came to America under the authority of King James, who authorized the King James Bible. William Bradford, who came...
This right here is going to give you some of what our founding fathers said and believed. Now, in the secular world out there, they'll pick out a few examples. Hold on a second.
They'll pick out a few examples of where one of the founding fathers was an atheist or something. And some of them, all of them were not Christians, of course. And they'll say, "See there? God didn't have nothing to do with the foundation of our country." But watch this a little bit, and then you tell me who's changed. They think we're weirdos. See, they think we've just stuck by what our country believed all along. Watch it.
Bradford, who came to America on board the Mayflower to become the chief governor of the Plymouth colony, wrote, "May not the children of these fathers rightly say, our fathers were English men, which came over this great ocean and were ready to perish in this wilderness. But they cried unto the Lord, and he heard their voice. Let them therefore praise the Lord, because he is good, and his mercies endure forever." John Winthrop, the first governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, partly credited with founding the city of Boston, said, "We shall find that the God of Israel is among us, for we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. So that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work which we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword through the world." The first school built in America was Harvard University in 1636, named after the Reverend John Harvard. Its original motto...
Hear that? The first college in America was Harvard, where Jeremy Lin went. And a preacher started it. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all know Jeremy Lin? He went from high school. I heard today that Kim Kardashian, or whatever her name is, sent word to Jeremy Lin. She wanted a date, and he turned her down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'd love to see the look on her face. Wouldn't that be funny? But it started out as a Christian school. A Christian school. Now, I want you to tell me who's changed. What's the next 3 or 4 minutes of this?
Motto was Truth for Christ and the Church.
That's what their motto
Harvard
was.
Expected the following of its students. Let every scholar be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life.
The main duty of every kid at Harvard was to know Jesus Christ. Now, who's changed? It ain't us. We start a Christian school now. That's our main duty. People say, "Oh well, they're supposed to get that at church. They just get no. The purpose of education is to get a kid to full knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of education. The number one purpose. After that is reading, writing, arithmetic. Amen? But then the first thing is to get a kid to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Therefore, to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning.
Amen.
At Princeton.
Princeton.
University. The official motto was, "Under God's power she flourishes."
Amen.
Princeton's first president, the Reverend Jonathan Dickinson, said, "Cursed be all learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ."
Evolution.
While at Yale, the university's stated aim was that all scholars shall live religious, godly, and blameless lives according to the rules of God's Word.
Amen.
Diligently reading the Holy Scriptures.
Amen.
Dartmouth, Columbia, William and Mary, and Brown University all had similar declarations. In fact, 123 of the first 126 colleges formed in America were formed on Christian principles.
Amen.
America's education system clearly represented the beliefs of some of the earliest founders and leaders. James Edward Oglethorpe established the colony of Georgia in 1732, in part as a refuge for persecuted Protestants from Europe. As the first settlers touched the shoreline, they knelt and declared, "Our end in leaving our native country is not to gain riches and honor, but singly this, to live wholly for the glory of God."
Amen.
William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, wrote, "If thou wouldst rule well, thou must rule for God. And to do that, thou must be ruled by Him."
Amen.
"Those who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants."
Remember that.
Jonathan Trumbull, the British governor of Connecticut, who became sympathetic to the American cause in 1773, said, "If you ask an American who is his master, he will tell you he has none, nor any governor but Jesus Christ."
Amen.
George Washington, on May 12, 1779, addressed the Delaware Indian chiefs who had brought their children to be educated in American schools. Washington said to them, "You do well to wish to learn our arts and ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
"Congress will do everything they can to assist you in this wise intention."
What about that?
Twice appointed Secretary of State, Daniel Webster said, "If the power of the gospel is not felt throughout the length and breadth of the land, anarchy and misrule, degradation and misery, corruption and darkness will reign without mitigation or end." Noah Webster, whose famous Webster's Dictionary is a legacy to this day, said, "No truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people. All the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible." Samuel Adams, in The Rights of the Colonists in 1772, wrote, "The rights of the colonists as Christians may be best understood by reading and carefully studying the institution of the great lawgiver and head of the Christian church, which are to be found clearly written in the New Testament." At a 4th of July celebration in 1837, President John Quincy Adams asked, "Why is it that next to the birthday of the Savior of the world, your most joyous and most venerated festival returns on this day? Is it not that in the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior?"
Amen.
"Is it not that the Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity?"
Amen.
The Reverend Jedediah Morse, father of Samuel B. Morse, who developed the Morse Code, said, "To the kindly influence of Christianity, we owe that degree of civil freedom and political and social happiness which mankind now enjoys. In proportion as the genuine effects of Christianity are diminished in any nation, either through unbelief or the corruption of its doctrines, in the same proportion will the people of the nation recede from the blessings of genuine freedom and approximate the miseries of complete despotism."
Wow.
President Andrew Jackson, concerning the Bible, plainly said, "That book, sir, is the rock upon which our republic rests."
Amen.
In 1831, a Frenchman named Alex de Tocqueville came to America to research the American prison system.
Listen to this.
He came to learn why his own country, France, had so many prisons while America had so few. In his now famous work, Democracy in America, he would later write, "There is no country in the whole world in which the Christian religion retains a greater influence over the souls of men than in America. The Americans combine the notions of Christianity and of liberty so intimately in their minds that it is impossible to make them conceive the one without the other."
Amen.
"Upon my arrival in the United States, the religious aspect of the country was the first thing that struck my attention. In France, I had almost always seen the spirit of religion and the spirit of freedom pursuing courses diametrically opposed to each other. But in America, I found that they were intimately united and that they reigned in common over the same country."
Amen.
"Yet with so many declarations about the Christian faith, history bears witness of what might be called the tares among the wheat."
Okay, then it takes a turn here. There's the whole rest of this video, and I will get you a copy of the whole thing if you'd like. It's about an hour and a half. The whole thing turns into now. Go ahead, brother. Thank you. What is spiritism, occult practices, and people channeling demonic spirits through them? And what they're saying is, how do we go from that to now you can't even read the Bible in most of our schools? How did that happen? You talk about a change. It all, the bad stuff started back in the 1800s. It shows people on here in that video that channel spirits, and these girls over, I forgot where they're from, the Fox sisters, there's three of them, how that they contacted who they thought was their dead, you know, and you don't do that. I'm going to do you a lesson here pretty soon on necromancy and all this kind of people doing all kind of the occult stuff. You don't go and try to talk to your grandma. I know people that go out to their people's grave and talk to people when they're dead. You don't do that. We don't talk to dead people. They're not in the grave. They're in heaven or hell, and you don't talk to them. You don't talk to them. I know you say, "Well, I just know that grandma was in the kitchen because I heard pots and pans in there rattling, and I knew." Listen, buddy, if pots and pans are rattling in your kitchen, I'll tell you what you better do. It ain't grandma. You better get down and plead the blood of Jesus over your house. And that's the way to get rid of that kind of stuff. The devil's in there. Now, the demon will impersonate your grandma and tell you, "Oh, I've come and I've... Don't worry about me. I'm at peace and stuff." You can't go on with stuff like that. You know what the Bible calls that in the Old Testament? Familiar spirits. Familiar spirits. Demons. And you don't talk to people after they're dead. You don't communicate with the dead. It's forbidden in the Bible. And I'll show you that later, but we're not going to talk about that tonight. But the world today is here's their philosophy today: tolerate everything but Bible believing Christianity. Now, if you don't matter what kind of freak you are, you're to be tolerated unless you're a Christian. You let him get on those talk shows, boy. Now don't judge him. Don't judge him. Let him have his say. And he just some kind of, Lord have mercy, you don't know if it's a he, a him, or a shim, or a hyphen, hyphen. Ain't no telling what it is. And he's over there saying this and that, and everybody says, yeah, he's speaking his mind. He's being himself. Man gets on there and says, "Listen, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. If you don't get saved, you're going to hell." Boo! Get him out of here. You tolerate anything and everything but a Christian. And everything is tolerated but Christianity. Everything is tolerated except Bible-believing Christians. You tear up a Koran, you'll stir up a war in America. You can tear up a Bible and sell tickets at a concert, and people will praise you for it. Now that shows you something. That shows we're on enemy territory, and the devil's running this thing. And brother, this world is not our friend, folks. This world is not our friend. Get that through your head. You cannot walk with the world and Jesus at the same time. Now, our problem is Our problem is we're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. That's our problem. Somebody's asking me about schools and asking me about education, about because I mentioned the other night. I said, I can't imagine the children of Israel. They're over here in bondage, living under Pharaoh, the wicked, heathen, ungodly Pharaoh. Don't even believe in God. He said, I don't know the Lord. Get out of here. And finally, God delivered them out of there, right? Been down there 400 years. God delivered them out of Egypt. Bye, Egypt. That's a picture of us getting saved. The world. Bye-bye, world. Come out over here, cross the Red Sea, come out over here, and here's all their young people trying to get Egyptian stations on the radio. God delivered us over here. We're God's people going to Canaan land, but man, we want to hear that Egyptian music. Don't bow your head. I'll tell you when it's time to pray. Amen. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? We come out of Egypt and send our kids back over there for Pharaoh to educate them. We come out of Egypt, but then bring their dress style and lifestyle with us. We're God's people serving God in the wilderness. But we say, man, I miss Egypt so bad, I'm going to go over to a party Friday night. We don't have no business going to an Egyptian party. Don't have no business. Listen, you get mad at me if you want to. Christian kids have no business going to the dances of the world. And there ain't no business doing that. You say, well, Brother Danny, it's just a fight continually. Yeah, I know. I raised three girls. And the answer is no. Amen. We're not going to Egypt. We're not going to get our entertainment from Egypt. Amen. Lord, that'll preach. I wasn't planning on even mentioning all that. But all these channelers. Y'all heard about the channelers now. How many of you have heard about the Georgia Stones? Has anybody heard about the Georgia Stones? That might not be the correct name of it. But you know, they set up these big stones right down across the Georgia line, and it's supposed to look like Stonehenge or something. They call it something. The Georgia Stones probably ain't the right name, but has anybody heard about that? Okay, there's several. You can look it up on the internet. The Georgia Stone. Somebody, and they don't know who did it, put up bunches of money, and they got these big old stones bigger than this building here, and it's got engraved on it the commandments of the New World Order that's coming. It's just across the Georgia line. You can go down Interstate 85 and go across. It tells you exactly where it's at, and you can go right there and look at it. And you know what the first commandment on the Georgia Stone is? Maintain population under 500 million. Their goal is to have no more than 500 million people living on the earth, and all of them rich and healthy and happy, and that way all the world's resources will continue to reproduce themselves. And everybody will be happy. There's 6 billion people in the world. 7 now. That means 6.5 billion's got to die. And there comes the coffins you was texting me about, Chrissy. Y'all heard about the FEMA coffins down there? How many have seen the pictures of them things? They have tens of thousands of coffins stacked up. You can see it. It's on the internet. Yeah, well, I don't see a demon behind every tree. Just about 90% of them, but I don't know. I'm not a doomsday. I don't go around saying, "Oh no, the world sky is falling. Let's all give up." That's exciting to me. That means the Lord's coming back. The rapture's coming. Man, the sooner the better. It'd be the best thing for us right now if the Lord came back right now. You ain't got a problem, old Dr. Ruckman says, that wouldn't be solved in 5 seconds after the rapture. Amen. Yeah. Woo! Lord, bring it on. That guy told me the other day, one of my preacher friends up in Maryland, he said, let's all vote for Obama. Maybe it'll all get worse and the Lord will come back quicker. That's not really a bad idea. Why do we want to keep it getting better and better? Let her go, brother. Just let it go. That's going to happen anyway. It's going to happen. That's going to happen. It looks like he's going to be elected anyway. I hope I'm wrong, but that's the way it's looking. I'm going to tell you something, brother. When you're going to reduce the world to 500 million, there's got to be some people get gone. Yeah. And there's going to be some get gone. And then a big plague going to kill the rest of them. If it's what the Bible said in the tribulation. One third. Is it two? One third? Is there a place where it says two-thirds? One-third, I think. One-third dies over here, and one-third dies over here. And they'll get their utopia. And about the time they think it's all wonderful and working out right, the Lord's going to come back and smash the whole thing. Just like in the movies, buddy. The rider on the white horse comes and saves him at the last minute. He shows up and beats up the villain and ties him on the railroad track and throws him over the cliff and beats him up. And brother, we live happily ever after. But until then, this world's getting worse. The world's getting darker, so we get to shine brighter. The world, shining light. I'm glad we named our church Shining Light. It's in a dark world. Amen. The new world order is coming, and the biggest enemy to the new world order is Christianity. Amen. I was thinking about Mitt Romney is a Mormon who claims to be a Christian. Barack Obama says he's a Christian. I hope he is. I pray for him. But he brags on the Koran. So we got a Christian who is a Mormon, and then we got a Christian who is a Muslim, sorta. Sort of Mormon, sort of Muslim. That's our choices.
Yeah, but with the Muslim stuff over there, the lamb line's all right, as long as it's achieving.
It's true. It's true. That's exactly right. If it benefits their cause, it's all right to lie. You need to read up about Muhammad. You need to read about Muhammad. He wrote the Koran. If one man wrote the Bible, it'd be full of errors. 40 men wrote the Bible. They all put their little part in it. God inspired, put it all together, and got the Bible. One man wrote the Koran. And President Obama says, the Holy Koran, the Holy Koran, the Holy Koran. I've got him on video saying it about four times, the Holy Koran. But when he says the Bible, he just says the Bible. And then finds fault with it. Something wrong. True colors coming out. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, you hear me tonight? That I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about politics. Our job is not even, I ain't even worried about politics. Got nothing to do with it. It's the world stage. As a matter of fact, before I get through tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, the best thing we can do in this world, the best thing we can do in this world is soul winning. You can't do anything any better than that. We ain't doing much of it, but that's the best thing we can do. Can anybody in here raise your hand and tell me anything we can do any greater than get people saved? You can't, because no matter what you do, who you get elected, this thing's going down anyway. The Bible says it is. Now look, if they have a vote in Burke County where they let prayer in school, I'll go downtown one evening, hold up a sign and say, let's vote. I'm all for kind of stuff like that. But I'm not going to spend my whole life traveling back and forth to Washington, D.C. trying to get somebody elected. You'd be better off to go on bus route Saturday and bring a kid here Sunday morning and come here to the altar and lead that kid to Jesus. You can't do nothing no better than that. Man asked me the other day, he'd been coming here to church some, and he had visited another church, and he said, well, he said, I said, where you at? Where you been? And he said, well, I went to another church and they had a mission thing. He said, I'm really interested in missions. On mission. He said, I'd like to do something in them. I said, well, that's great. They were probably maybe taking a trip somewhere and building like Bobby did and all that. That's good. That's great. I'm all for that. We gave Bobby the money for his plane ticket. You know, I believe in that. You know what I told him? I said, there is not a greater home mission work in this area than our bus ministry. There is not. I'll guarantee you, if somebody can show me I'm wrong, I'll apologize. I don't know of a ministry in Burke or Caldwell or Catawba that talks to as many people face to face and witnesses them as our bus ministry. That's a home mission, brother. You want to be a missionary? Get in this bus ministry. But see, people don't want to do that. They want to fly in an airplane to Jamaica and see the beach. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm all for it. But they don't want to go to a trailer park down here and talk to somebody, you know. But that's the mission work, brother. That's the mission work. Amen? It just burns me up when I hear about these churches parking their buses, quitting the bus ministry, because those bus kids offend the, well, quote, rich people on Sunday morning. We don't want them in here. We'll go get them on a special day, or we'll do something else with them. No, sir. They need to get to come to church on Sunday morning. They need to learn what it's like. Go to Sunday school and church and be treated like everybody else and be loved and hear the preacher preach from the pulpit and know what it feels to hear a choir sing, brother. That's the greatest mission work we can do. Amen. Best thing you can do, be a soul winner. Best thing you can do for this world is be a soul winner. That's the best thing you can do. Can anybody raise your hand and tell me something you can do greater than that? You say, I want to be a doctor. Nothing wrong being a doctor. Thank God we've got them. But if your doctor gets somebody well, they're going to die anyway and go to hell for not saved. You say, well, I'm going to be the president and straighten out the problems of the world. Wonderful. I hope you get to. But it's still going to go down anyway. But if you get somebody saved, they're fixed for all eternity. They're done, brother. They're done. Names written in heaven. And you use your head, people. Use your head. You can't do anything any greater than that. The other Sunday morning when I preached on climbing to hell, it was a low day. It was that day it was going to snow. And people, we had attendance, was not bad, but it wasn't a packed house. And the devil got all over me and he said, good night, why are you preaching this? He said, there ain't no law. Christians won't even come to church. It's going to start to snow already. Sleet. It started sleeting on us on the way home. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do but obey you and put on what you put on my heart. And I rode back and preached that hard as I could. And we had two grown men get saved that morning. You can't do nothing no greater than that. You can't do nothing. I can't do nothing. Look, you know what I used to want to do? I used to want to play music. Have me a Christian group when I first got saved. That's a dime a dozen, brother. Preach climbing to hell. I mean, I'm not against singing groups. I still fool around with it and have two cases and camp and stuff. But listen, you can't do nothing no greater than preach that book and see people get saved. Can't do nothing greater. I'm going to have to quit here in a minute. But you think about it now. Look up the Georgia Stones and the FEMA coffins. What got you into that the other night, Chrissy?
One of my friends in college was talking about it.
Oh, yeah?
But they're
owned by the CDC, so they're making the Center of Disease Control. I guess if you was going to try to kill 2/3 of the population, you ain't going to just put a virus in there because it might get you. So the problem is trying to figure out how to kill people without killing herself. Ha ha ha. We get to live too, huh? I've watched him a time or two. Caskets.
And in that same one he talks about, matter of fact, it shows from her. He's talking about how the government's over here below the Denver airport building shacks and stuff underneath the ground where they're going to protect themselves.
Next time I come down there, well, I'm going to stop and get me one of them things. Because you have to buy one sooner or later sometime. I'd say, I want mine now. Come back my forerunner and have them move caskets sticking out the end of it. That's what they did in that movie, 2012. That 2012 movie.
He's got proof that they're going to be building those bunkers.
He's got workers that...
Who does? Jesse Ventura?
Yeah. He's
working
with
him. Yeah. Conspiracy theory.
I've seen him. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. Wasn't he the governor or somewhere and he turned... He's a weird dude. Well, he's got the awfulest accent. That 2012 movie, and I don't recommend you watch it because it's a Hollywood movie. I don't recommend it. But it was on TV, and I didn't watch all of it. I don't think, but it was part. It showed the whole world. It pictures prophecy, and saying that the whole world is coming to an end, like in 2012 this year. And the earth crust is supposed to be shifting. And when it does, it's just going to all, what's going to break loose and the buildings are going to fall and everything, which I don't really believe that. I don't believe it. But it's saying what could happen. And they've been building these boats, big old gigantic ships in China since 2008. And all the rich people, it's cost you about $2 billion, go in these, and they take every race and every creed and every different kind of exotic animals, just like Noah did in the ark. And they get in there, and then when all the everything's over with, they come out and sail to Africa and start the world all over again. And that's supposed to happen this year sometime. December 21st is when everything's supposed to just blow all to pieces. You're going to hear a lot of stuff this year about December 21st, and it's going to be hysteria. I do not believe that the Mayans had a clue what they was talking about. And I doubt seriously it's probably going to be just like that new millennium thing, a big flop. I want something awful to happen. But you know what I mean. I want something that'll scare people and get us a revival going. But not gas going up. I don't want gas going up. I don't want revival.
About the Hebrew calendar ending or something at a certain time.
I don't know. Them Mayans, they probably had contact with demons. Because they had knowledge far beyond what they should have had back in those days about the equinox and this true north and all this stuff. They know all that. They built buildings and pyramids and everything. I don't know how they got some knowledge from the sons of God back there. Look up giants. Look up them giants, man. Anybody else? Right quick.